So we have a real treat today. Some visitors from Wilmington, Delaware. And So I don't know if y'all remember, maybe, I don't know, a year ago, Pastor Carl Gale from Wilmington came down. He's kind of short, isn't he? Is he short? Kind of short, maybe a little short hair, black guy. He spoke on joy, and I don't know if y'all remember them. But anyway, these two are two of his disciples, and this is DeJure. I don't even know your last name. What's your last name?
Thompson.
Thompson. DeJure Thompson. And, it's awesome. Like, I've met Gian at some of the leadership conferences up in Pennsylvania, but this is the first time I've met DeJure, I think. And it's like we're brothers. Like, the Spirit's there, and it's awesome. And so a little treat this morning. DeJure is going to do a little short introductory message, and then Gian's going to preach the main message. So Gian is G-I-A-N. I guess it's on your bulletin. But and Morales, he's kind of quiet. He says he's Puerto Rican. And he speaks Spanish, but I don't believe him because I heard all Puerto Ricans are very loud. And he agreed. He said, my whole family's loud and all the Puerto Ricans I know are loud, but I'm not, you know. So, but he's an amazing believer. I mean, he's got a lot of depth to him. And young man, how old are you, like 24, 25? 24? 24 years old. And how old are you, 25? 25. So this is DeJure.
Thank you for having me. No, it's perfect. Thank you for having me. My name's DeJure Thompson. You know, probably wondering, who is this guy? I'm clearly not from Virginia. I'm actually from somewhere further up north, Wilmington, Delaware. I lived in the city for a good portion of my life, but I love to connect with other people in the body from different places because it really shows me how big God is. Sometimes I can forget that, you know, being around a place that's familiar. I wanted to invite everybody to think about today, like, something very important. And that very important thing is something that we all need. And you may already know what it is, but it's called faith. Can I have everybody say faith?
Faith.
Right. Faith is something, you know, I think Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And, you know, there's a lot of ways we see faith in the Bible played out, Old Testament, New Testament. I think as it relates to what I've been learning about this past week, I think about faith that keeps us, faith that helps us to grow us in times of difficulty. And so, you know, if you know about the scriptures, you know, Paul had a disciple who was named Timothy, and he was called to be a pastor of a church in, Ephesus. And, that was a high calling. And he realized how important it was that even though he was younger than a lot of the people he would be serving there as a pastor, like there was still building up that he needed for his calling. And so I think as a young person in the faith, how important it is for us to be built up in our calling, for our faith to be built up, because that's what really helps us to hold fast to what we know is true. You know, some people try to do it by might, by power, maybe keeping the law, doing something legalistic, and we'll call that faith. But faith is really, you know, as Hebrews 11:1 described it, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if we can learn to walk more by that, it'll really encourage us to continue to grow in our faith walk. So even when suffering comes, we look at it different. We look at it from the lens of eternity instead of something that's temporary. And I wanted to share some scriptures today. So if you want to follow me, follow along with me. And I go by a few really quickly. Galatians 5, verse 6. And it says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." Right? And when I was reading that, I was like, that's so true. Like, during Paul's time, there was a thing going on in the church where people were trying to follow Christ through the law, but it wasn't effective, because if you're following Christ through the law, you're not using faith. You're using the law, which is a set of rules, a set of standards. And I think today, especially young folk, we can be very zealous, but that zeal without knowledge can lead us into a dangerous place where we can try and follow God through the law or through our own ability that we think we have to follow God instead of through faith. And, you know, I think the word love is important because there's different kinds of love. And I think the word love here is agape, right? I believe this is agape love, love that, you know, it is just for the sake of love. Paul says, "I show you a more excellent, or the most excellent, or a better way," in 1 Corinthians 12:31. And that way is through love. Faith that, you know, worketh through love. And I think as youth in the church, we need to know about faith and what it means and how to walk it out, because it can be easy to misinterpret faith. You know, we can think, oh, faith is just, I just show up to church every Sunday. But we know Sunday service is for the purpose of walking things out throughout the week. It's more of a building up. It's more of a gathering together. And in 1 John 4, verse 8, it says, "Perfect love casts out fear." You know? And when we learn how important it is to love, or how important love is and the love God has for us, we can understand how important it is to hold on to our faith. And that means that we don't need to worry about things like our salvation, or if we're really covered by the blood, if we know the love of God, which surpasses all understanding. And I think sometimes we can get into a place where we forget that, because it's so easy to forget that. Like, even yesterday, I was saying a really anointed prayer at the prayer breakfast at Greater Grace Delaware. And then later that day, I went through some suffering, you know, and it was so easy for me to forget the love of God and how much God loves me, because I was suffering. It was hard for me, you know, to hold on. You know, I helped my mom out with something and then was worried about things that I had to do, how I was going to get there. I remember carrying, like, you know, a large thing of waters, and the water, like, had a hole in it and it spilled on my pants. And then, you know, like, it was just a lot of stuff. And it was all of this stuff that affected my mind and distracted me and made it easier to forget about the faith that I had, that I was holding on to. And so the last thing I'll remark on, if you follow me to Romans 8, verse 38, it says, just before that, "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus our Lord. And how powerful is it? I just want you to join me today to think about how powerful is it when we say to someone, I love you, please come with me. We give them an invitation to come and share in the promise that God has given us. It's not by the law, it's by fellowship. It's recognition of the sacrifice he made for us, which was by grace through faith, the ultimate love. And we are at a time now where the young generation is perplexed on what to do, what to follow. There's so many things that seem like they look right or they'll give us the life that we want. And it'd be so easy to see that, but we don't see what's at the end of that. It takes faith that worketh through love to help illuminate us the truth of God, you know, and the love he has for us, and the power of his Holy Spirit. So again, I say faith, which is empowered by grace. Grace, which is empowered by perfect love. That's something that we should consider. Thank you.
Morning. It's kind of funny. Our services in Delaware start around 12, so usually we say good afternoon. But this is something different for me. I just wanted to send greetings from Wilmington, Delaware, Greater Grace. My name is Gian Morales. You probably read on the piece of paper. And really, it's really a joy being here with you guys because this is something that I never saw myself doing. I never really saw myself following God. I never thought about my life with God, but now that I'm here, I can really say it was all God. And he had faith in me first before I had faith in what he was doing. And so that really changed my life. And I wanted to say that Pastor Carl and the body up in Delaware sends their love to you guys. And thank you, Pastor Tom, for inviting us. And just thinking about us up there, it's really special when we're all doing our thing, but we think about each other along the way. That's really an amazing thing when we think about God's grace and the ministry of God's grace in our life, that it's all kind of interconnected. Like when we came last night to Pastor Tom's house, and he was really welcoming and very hospitable, and his wife, he just felt like really welcomed, and I could sense the Spirit moving in his life, and then seeing it here in you guys' life is like mind-blowing. And to think about how God is always like interconnecting us, no matter where we are, we hear the message of grace and love and who God is and what he's done for us in the finished work, and we can hear it wherever we go. Like, we could be in Delaware, and Pastor Carl could be preaching on faith, and we hear it down here with Pastor Tom, and then you can go to Delaware, Baltimore, and you hear it there too. It's like, how is God everywhere at once? It's like, we can't fathom that, but it's really faith moving in the love of people's hearts, and we see God in a brand new way that you wouldn't otherwise see it through your sight. And so I was just thinking about this in my life, how I never thought about God calling me to ministry. It's something that I wasn't even pursuing. Growing up, I was in the Catholic Church and I went to Mass, but I never really sensed that love and that compassion. And it was great being with those people because I grew up with them. But it was just something in my heart that I was looking for that's greater than what they were sharing with me. So I just was in this place of seeking and trying to find my place in life, a purpose and identity. And then at one point, God just kind of halted my life. And during COVID, I was in college, and a friend invited me to a Bible study. And in that Bible study, I didn't understand anything that they were saying. I don't think I was saved yet, but I understood that there was love behind it, and that person was thinking about me, and they wanted to spend time with me and get to know me. And I was kind of like wondering, why is this person so interested in me? I didn't do anything to deserve it. But that person ended up leading me to Christ, and it got me in a place where I wanted to know more about him. And years later, I was doing outreach with him, and he moved. And then somehow the pastor I was with led me to another pastor. It happened to be a Greater Grace pastor from Havity Grace in Maryland. And that's through him I found like all this worldwide interconnection of believers that were also seeking him. And it was just incredible how God could do that. He could set you on a journey of faith. You're not even trying to look for him, but he's looking for you. And that's how much he loves you, that no matter what you're doing in life, his grace will meet you there. And when he meets you there, you don't know what's going to happen next, but you know it's going to be God showing up. And when you find him, you don't want to lose him. You want to keep looking for him, like following the sheaves like a rat. So I had a decision to make. I met Pastor Carl in Baltimore, DeJor and other people there, and they invited me to Delaware, and they said, you can come up and hear a message. And the message was about Jesus saying, come to the other side, like see what else there is for you. There's like the natural life, and you have all these things that you can acquire, but how do you acquire eternal life? And so that really tugged at my heart, and I said, Pastor Carl, I want to help in the ministry. I want to be part of this. And he said, okay, what do you have? Like, you can move up here. Someone else needed a roommate. And I had all these like Lego sets that I collected growing up. I'm sure some of you probably grew up with it too. And I had like over 10 years, just a whole massive collection, thousands of dollars. I didn't know it at the time. But then I sold it all, and I came up to Delaware, and I left behind my job, my career. I just wanted a new life. And then from there, I just, you know, it wasn't easy. It was a lot of challenges. I didn't have money sometimes. I was just figuring things out, but I had a shepherd there who cared about me and people who supported me. And I just saw the love of God meeting me every time. And no matter what happened, I knew God was there for me. And it wasn't me trying to do something to figure out what God is doing. He just led me through like a shepherd and a sheep through a fold. And he went out and found the one. He left the 99, and I'm with the 99 now. And I was just thinking about how in our life we don't know our calling, but we know someone's calling us. And we have a decision to choose what we want to say to the person calling us. He can say, come with me, come to the other side. But I could say, no, I want to stay here and figure it out. Or, yes, I want to come with you. But that yes comes with an unexpected, like, you won't know every single detail. You just have to trust me. And for my life, it was a lot of trusting, a lot of believing God, a lot of faith in him. But it really added something brand new that I couldn't acquire. And we can look at Galatians 2:20, one of my favorite verses. And that's funny, DeJor was in Galatians earlier, and he's talking about love and faith. And this verse really spoke to me because it really talks about the laid down life of a believer. And so it just reads, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I thought that was just a powerful verse, that the motivation behind us being crucified with him is really that he loved me first and he gave himself for me. Like, his whole life, he laid down his whole life for one person, and that one life, he says, it's not me anymore living, it's him living in me. And that, I found that to be really true in my life, because every time I tried to find my life in other things, I found it actually in the one that lives in me. And so this whole new life that I gave to him, he just took it and he gave me a new life. And that's like a whole new world, a whole new perspective to understand. And it takes time and it takes a lot of patience, but God is working in us the same life that he worked in Jesus when he was on the earth. And so now that I'm crucified, there's nothing in me that actually works anymore. My old thoughts don't work. My old ways don't work. My old patterns and just everything that I thought was working, it doesn't work anymore. But the life that lives in me works wonders. It works miracles. And actually now, when I'm following Jesus in that new life, the blessings follow me. I'm not following a blessing. I am the blessing because Christ made me the blessing. And so that's the grace of God, that we don't live in the flesh anymore, like it says. The flesh is always looking to be satisfied, and it always has its cravings, its sneaky things. I think of when Pastor Schaller came to preach, he talked about no condemnation. And when we read Paul saying, there's something in me working against what God is doing in my life, but it's not me, it's the sin in me. And we think, oh, I'm the one causing this trouble. I'm the one putting myself in my own way, but it's not me, it's the sin in me. But we can recognize that it's something else in our life. And it's not something we condemn ourselves with, but it's really something we give God to, because he already took it on the cross. He already paid the penalty of our sin. There's nothing else to do to be who God wants us to be, but just enjoy who we are already in Jesus Christ. And so I think about faith, and I found faith all the way in the beginning. When you look at Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created. And God creating something is faith. Like, if you think about it, he created a new life for me, but it wasn't my life, it was Christ's life in me. And so when we think about the new life he created all the way from the beginning, John speaks about in the beginning, but that time he says in the beginning the Word. And the Word is something we can hold and feel and touch in our Bible, but also it translates to the mind of God. So in the beginning was the mind of God, and the mind of God was facing God. It was fellowshipping. It had that love, that relationship that he had in eternity past. And then he was God. Like, the reflection that they had from the beginning was the same, like the Father's reflection. So when God sees you and you're in the Word, you're in Christ, he's seeing the Son. And he's not seeing your faults and your failures and your blemishes or your skin, if it's wrinkly or smooth or anything. He's just seeing his Son. And in the Word, we find ourselves. And you read the Word and you see Jesus doing miracles. He's healing people. He's healing the blind and the sick. And it's all inside of who he is already. And if we keep reading in verse 3 of John 1, it says, all things were made by him, by the word. And all things, in the original language, it says, all things were finished by him. So you can imagine, before anything started, before you were even born, before anything in history happened, everything individually and corporately as a time in history, everything was already completed to the from the beginning. So everything that you're experiencing in life, your sufferings, your pains, your aches, your backs, all the things that you're experiencing, God already brought you through from the beginning because you were finished from the beginning in his mind. So in his mind, you are already finished. So now, how do we get that mind? The Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ. And he speaks the word, and he tells us who we are from the word. And so he bears witness. He's always telling you that you are complete in me. You're loved in the beloved. There's nothing wrong with you. It's just an identity issue, an identity crisis. And we see that in Galatians 2:20, that that's who we are. We're just crucified, but we're living through him. And even though our bodies are perishing, every day there's a new life that's being renewed in you. So when we find ourselves waking up to thoughts that are just perishing, that tell us things that are not true, we can speak faith like Christ spoke faith in the beginning. And you speak a new way, a new life. And God's creating a capacity in you to believe him by faith. So as we understand the word and we learn, I love this ministry, we learn the Bible. Like we sit down and we break it line by line, precept by precept, and it tells us exactly what God is thinking. He thought that already, but we're not just understanding it in a deeper way. So as we continue to know Christ deeper, he's going to show us our purpose in life. And when we learn that purpose, we walk in it by faith. We see him by faith. We know him by faith. And then our life is just consumed by faith. And so he's going to teach us how he lived. And it's not going to make sense. Like, me going to Delaware doesn't make sense when I already had a place to stay. I had my family. I had all the money and the career. Being here today, standing to talking to people I never met doesn't make sense. So I never knew you, but God knew you from the beginning, and he knew we were going to talk today. And just loving people doesn't make sense. Like going out into the street and talking to people, you don't even like know what's going on with them, but you know that God loves them. It doesn't make sense, but faith makes it make sense. And in our life, things are never going to make sense, but we can go to the word and understand it by faith and see, like, God, your love does make sense. Like, I see why you died for me, why I needed a savior. And we pray God creates a capacity in us to keep knowing him, because to know God doesn't make sense. Like, we weren't made, like, we don't come out of the womb thinking about God. We cry for milk or we cry for food, but to hunger and thirst after him by faith, it does make sense. So as we think about the word and what it's doing in our life, we see ourselves getting smaller and him getting bigger. And it could be scary because we don't know what our life will be like when we let go. But when we let God take care of us, we find that freedom. We find the joy. I love, in Wilmington, we love joy. We just love laughing and just praying and praising God and just hallelujah breakdowns and all those things, because we really do have a lot of freedom in Christ. And to experience that is part of our faith. Like, there's nothing that we need to worry about. So lastly, I want to end with Romans, which Dejor also talked about. And in Romans 1, verse 16, we see Paul here. He's actually going through a lot. He's trying to get to the Romans. He's really excited to preach the gospel. And he's really, there's a faith between them. There's a spirit between them. There's things that he's waiting to impart in them as something spiritual. We see in verse 11. And he is not there yet, but he's really anticipating to meet God in Rome. But before he gets there, he's writing to them. He's saying in verse 15, "So as much as is in me, I am ready." Can you say that? I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Culpeper, Virginia. You can insert where you live. But he's saying, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So he's really speaking about us. We are the people that believed on Jesus. We have the power of God that saved us forever. It didn't just save us in the moment. It saved us for all eternity. And it all happened before time. And so because we can stand on this faith that existed, pre-existed all time, we are not ashamed. We can feel ashamed in our natural, in our condition. But in Christ, we are not ashamed because this is something he did. It's not something we work up to not be ashamed. We just are not ashamed. It's who we are in Christ. And because we have this, that's how we live. We live every day saying, "I'm ready and I am not ashamed." When I go to the grocery store, I say to myself, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to say something." And faith speaks. And when it speaks, it creates something in someone else in their hearts. And when we live by faith and turn from our faith to God's faith, from faith to faith, and from glory to glory, the righteousness of God is revealed. And they see Jesus in a whole new light. And when they see you, they see Christ, because you are him in the flesh. And when he reveals that to them, you see yourself in Christ as well. So when you speak to someone, you're seeing not only what you're doing in their life, but they see what you're doing in your own life. So you are always reflecting Christ, and it's all by faith. And we live this way, we breathe this way, we move this way, we have our being this way. And when we live like this, our faith comes alive. And then people start coming and they see how in love you are with God. They see how much compassion you have towards people. And our churches are alive, and we just have thanks towards God that he's doing all this. And it's just part of our life now. So those were just some thoughts I had, and I'm just really thankful for being here. And you guys are more than welcome to come up in Wilmington and visit us and see what's going on. Pastor Carl loves you guys, and have a great day. Amen.
Wow, that's a lot to take in. We have a covered dish dinner downstairs. If you forgot about it or didn't hear about it, come on down anyway, and we'll have some great fellowship. Maybe we could get Gian on the microphone again downstairs and ask him some questions. I love his thoughts. You know, like he's really walking with God. And who wants to organize a trip to Delaware?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Lord, thank you for today. And we just pray that you'll bless Gian and DeJure and the remaining time they have here. And just lift them up and bless them for driving 3.5 hours down here, Lord. And thank you for the body of Christ, Lord. Thank you for, yeah. And just pray that you'll bless the food and the time downstairs. In Jesus' name, amen.